We read today from the book of James. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious, and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the word. Communion Sunday, our affirmation is in the back of your hymnal. Let's join together in the statement of faith of our United Church of Christ. We believe in God, the eternal Spirit, who is made known to us in Jesus our Lord, and to whose deeds we testify. God calls the worlds into being, creates humankind in the divine image, and sets before us the ways of life and death. God seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. God judges all humanity and all nations by that will of righteousness declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord, God has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the whole creation to its Creator. God bestows upon us the Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. God calls us into the Church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be servants in the service of the whole human family, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. God promises to all who trust in the gospel forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, the presence of the Holy Spirit in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in that kingdom which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto God. Amen.
Our focus scripture for the morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 8, 14 and 15, 21 through 23. And I share it with you this morning from Eugene Peterson's The Message. It's, of course, in the Gospel, another story of an encounter between Jesus and the Pharisees, the religious scholars. Pay close attention to the reading. The Pharisees, along with some religion scholars who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples weren't being very careful with ritual washings before meals. The Pharisees, Jews in general, in fact, would never eat a meal without going through the motions of a ritual hand washing, with an especially vigorous scrubbing if they had just come from the market, to say nothing of the scouring they would give jugs and pots and pans. The Pharisees and religion scholars asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples flout the rules, showing up at meals without washing their hands?" Jesus answered, "Isaiah was right about frauds like you. Hit the bullseye, in fact. These people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it. They act like they are worshiping me, but they don't mean it. They just use me as a cover for teaching whatever suits their fancy, ditching God's command and taking up the latest fads." He went on, "Well, good for you. You get rid of God's command so you won't be inconvenienced in following the religious fashions." Jesus called the crowd together again and said, "Listen now, all of you. Take this to heart. It's not what you swallow that pollutes your life. It's what you vomit. That's the real pollution." He went on, "It's what comes out of a person that pollutes. Obscenities, lusts, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, depravity, deceptive dealings, carousing, mean looks, slander, arrogance, foolishness. All these are vomit from the heart. There is the source of your real pollution." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, leave it to Jesus. He's in trouble again. One can almost always count on Jesus to rub somebody the wrong way, to make somebody upset. And this story reveals another part of Jesus' character in this way. Jesus is a rule breaker. And he's got his disciples in on it too. At least the Pharisees and some of the religious scholars thought Jesus was a rule breaker. Why? Because, well, he didn't wash his hands. You know you're supposed to wash your hands before meals. Weren't you all taught that? Wash your hands. How many times did you tell your children that? Wash your hands. Now, we know now that that's a very sanitary thing to do. It helps prevent the spreading of germs, the spreading of disease, to wash your hands. But that wasn't what the Pharisees and the religious scholars were worried about. And they made a special trip to where Jesus was. Did you catch that? They came from Jerusalem. Jesus wasn't in Jerusalem. He was in the region of Gennesaret. They made a trip specifically to try and catch him, to criticize him about what he's doing, what he's teaching. Jesus didn't wash his hands. The disciples didn't wash their hands either. And that was a rule. A Jewish rule. A Jewish ritual. Jews were supposed to wash their hands and their eating utensils, their cooking utensils, before any meal. And here Jesus had violated that sacred rule. Now, rules are not inherently bad, are they? We have rules. We make rules. It helps us live in an ordered way. To know how to behave in the particular situations, whether it be at work or at home or at church, we need rules. But sometimes rules get in the way. And that's what Jesus is talking about to those Pharisees and those religious scholars and to all the people that were there to witness that. One might assume from hearing the story, reading the story, that Jesus was rejecting the law. But he's not. He didn't say the rules were bad. He just said that they were in the way of what was really the point of living, of practicing God's law, what he had taught. The Pharisees and the religious scholars had pushed that to the back burner. It was the rule that was important, not the law, not what God wanted to do, but the rule, and it was a human rule, a designated or designed rule, not a God-designed rule. So Jesus calls them out about that. He says, you're missing the point. It's not the rule that's important, it's what God's law has taught you. All those things that I have said that you yourself, Pharisees and religious scholars, know. Yet you take the rule and put it ahead of God. And living and treating others the way that God would have us treat one another. I liked what I read in one of the commentaries as I prepared this week around this very issue of rules and them taking over rather than the central issue, the central theme. The writer, I think it was Lamar Williamson, in this particular commentary on the Gospel of Mark says, the Pharisees and the religious scholars of the day were making minor things major. Washing was a minor thing. It was major things were God's ways and living in those ways. What you've done, said Jesus, is taken tradition and put it ahead of God's commands. Now, tradition is not a bad thing. We have many traditions. But in this case, they've gotten ahead of God's commands of what to do, God's law of how to deal with one another, to live with one another. Jesus speaks to the Pharisees and the religious scholars, the people that are there to listen to him, and saying, you know, you're just really going through the motions. You say you're religious, you say you're faithful, but you're going through the motions. What you want is to enforce your rules, not God's. Thank God we don't do that anymore. Actually, we do. We turn minor things into major things, enforcing our rules on instead of God's. Think about it for a minute. I thought, well, what are some examples? You ever heard anybody say, well, they aren't dressed appropriately for church? A minor thing made major. Here's one from experience. I was reading in one of the church's bylaws that we were members of at one time, and in the bylaws they had a section in their booklet about the flowers on the altar. It was a page and a half long. The flowers had to be real flowers. They had to be so far away from the cross in the center of the altar. They couldn't be higher than the cross on the altar. Minor things made major. How about certain words? It doesn't happen much anymore, but for a period of time, there was the great Lord's Prayer debate. Argument, if you will. Do you remember that? Did that happen here? It happened in a lot of churches. Are we supposed to say sins or trespasses or debts? There were huge church arguments about that, and like church fights, there's no argument like a church argument. It all meant the same thing, but we were worried about what word we should say rather than living what the Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray. Think about our traditions around holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas. Those traditions are important, and they help us center ourselves on that, but sometimes the traditions get to be more important than what we're celebrating, don't they? Jesus called the Pharisees and the religious scholars out about this, and Jesus could call us out about those same things today, and is in the scripture this morning. We gather around this table this morning for another tradition, the celebration of the sacrament of communion. That's a good thing. Of course, it's a tradition. Every congregation has their own traditions around that. But sometimes I wonder if the meanings, if you will, there's not one particular meaning to communion. I find something new every time I preside at the table. sometimes the ritual gets in the way of the message behind it, of God speaking to us in the bread and the cup. And that is what we gather around this table for, is it not? For God to speak to us, to remember Jesus' words and his life and his actions, his teachings, his commands to us. In my previous parish, the Sunday school kids made unleavened bread for Sunday school, and we thought, well, it'd be a really good idea to share that and use it for communion that Sunday. And so we did. And what did we hear? It's not like the regular bread we have. It's too chewy. Minor things made major. Traditions and practices in and of themselves aren't bad things, but they can get in the way, just like rules. God calls us to be able to tell the difference, to know when the rule is overshadowing the command. And that's part of our tradition as followers of the way. And our tradition always is to be a follower of God's law. Thanks be to God for that tradition. Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.